thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the commercial breaks there. It's Matt and Keith back with you here. And all that's left for us to do, really, is intro this first session. So do you want to tell us a little bit about these two guys? People might have heard of them. I mean, it's fairly well known.
Well, they are indeed. Jeffrey Snover is the technical fellow for Microsoft in enterprise and cloud, and he's also the PowerShell founder. And I originally had a conversation with Jeffrey when we were talking about Monad and I was trying to get it used in Windows SharePoint services. Unfortunately, at that point, it wasn't shipping in the operating system. And at that point, Jeffrey looked a little bit different.
He looks a little bit like my dad at that point, actually.
Not mine. Kenneth Hansen, who I should be nicer about, as he is my manager. But he's the principal PM manager for PowerShell team and one of the original team members. And of course, he hasn't quite always looked like this either. But without any further ado, I'll let them introduce themselves. Jeffrey, Kenneth.
Take it away, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, really.
So, howdy, I'm Jeffrey Snover. I'm a technical fellow, and I'm the chief architect for our Enterprise Cloud Group. That's a group that brings you the great products like Windows Server, Azure Stack, System Center, and Operations Management Suite. And today I'm joined by?
Ken Hansen. I've been on PowerShell for, 14 years again since we started?
It is.
You've been here, 15 or some ridiculous number?
For a long time.
A long time.
Well, on PowerShell, 17 at Microsoft.
Yeah. And then,
actually, so you've mentioned 14, so 10-year anniversary, 14?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been 14, 15 years, I guess, doing this PowerShell thing. Started out as Monad,
but
we're celebrating, as Keith pointed out, the 10-year anniversary of the release to web of PowerShell 1.0, which was really just a tremendous, exciting event. It took us a while to get to 1.0.
Yeah, there was a little bit of pain involved.
Just a little, that's right. And a prototype. I'm kind of glad with prototype. And you know, it's also worth noting, just a few other people are still on the team that actually were there with the original, at the origins of it, Jim Truer and Bruce Payette, and that's been...
Hitesh.
And Hitesh came a little later, but also was there. No, so we've had, in fact,
when we brought it back from
IDC. That's right, and brought it back from IDC. And you know, it's... Yeah, it's just, and these guys, I think later on, they'll actually have a little moment, I think, throughout the day, they'll be able to sort of express their memories or whatever it is, walk down memory lanes.
So absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, awesome guys.
You know, this has been a lot of fun. As you say, I've been really excited about having this, I've been able to do this anniversary for the last few months. And Keith has done a great job putting it together, but it's been giving us a chance to sort of reflect a little bit.
Right.
You know, and sort of say, okay. And I remember you and I were chatting last week about, okay, what went well? What didn't go so well? You know what I mean? What are we proud of? What would we rather, you know, be quiet? And even a little bit about the future, but it just, and what I've come to even since we last chatted was, I was surprised as I kept reflecting how mixed some of it was.
Uh-huh.
Some of it I'm like ultra proud of because it's like revolutionary, and others it just feels like we didn't quite get there. Or is there
almost,
if I could just done a little more, or maybe it just wasn't that useful, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know.
And the actually I did, at the PowerShell Summit, I had done this, here are the sort of categories of things, and then version one, here's what we did, version two, version three, version four, version five, and how we filled that out. And then I went back and I said, here are the things I don't think worked out as well as we did. And I was sort of shocked by how few things were on that list. And even then, I don't think there's only been like one or two real sort of missteps. Snap-ins. Snap-ins were a misstep. Should we tell them the story behind snap-ins?
Yeah, please. I'm not sure we had much choice.
No, we did not have a choice. This was at the time of the .NET purge. So we mentioned it was a hard time getting PowerShell version 1 out.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, you know, if you remember Vista, right? A lot of people think Vista was not our finest hour. What they forget to realize is Vista was the save. There was this thing called Longhorn. Ooh. And basically, you know, we convinced ourselves .NET was the future, and we're putting .NET everywhere, and people were doing .NET. With it. They were putting it in all sorts of inappropriate ways.
Yeah, right.
We'll put it in the kernel and put just all sorts of things. So at some point, that messed up the project. We're in deep crisis, and they said, get that thing out of here. And so at that point, the Windows guys...
Nothing like a pendulum, right?
Yeah, we over-pivoted. And so it became very out of fashion to be .NET. Well, we were still staying with .NET. As much as they said, get off that. We knew this was the right approach. And so at some point, they had produced this list of seven things you had to do to ship .NET in Windows Server. And one of them, we had this conversation, remember the two architects?
Oh, yeah.
They were like, okay, how are you going to do this extension model. And one said, well, you have to have snap-in so that you can do servicing. And the other guy said, well, no, you have to have X copyable. And so we said, listen, just tell us what you want. And they both simultaneously said the opposite thing.
That's right. This is kind of like what PowerShell does, right? It takes this impossible, stupid universe and tries to make it a little more rational.
Yeah. So we felt that in order to ship, we were going to have to do this thing called snap-ins. And we didn't think it was the right approach, but we did think we have to ship to do that. And that was, I think, the one big mistake. And it's not that big of a mistake, honestly.
And people have sort of gotten past it. We're now onto modules, which we did in V2.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
and I'm kind of
done
proud
the right
of the
way.
Modules, you know. I think we actually did much, we did something cool. It has some interesting notions that haven't been completely taken advantage of. You know, the nested module paradigm and some of that has not yet been, I don't think, expressed as much. Although I think as we move forward, it might actually become more so.
And the hidden modules?
The hidden modules, exactly. So you could actually craft your user experience exactly as you want and not show anything else.
Can I say, this is actually one of the things I'm most proud of. Like, so
sure.
Today I saw some
right here next to your notes. Okay.
And they said, oh, you know, 10 years ago, Microsoft started with PowerShell on, you know, basically starting the path to parity with Linux.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay. But honestly, I think when, you know, we were deeply inspired by Linux, Unix, really.
Oh, yeah.
And the team has deep Unix backgrounds. Most of the core members were deep Unix guys, et cetera. But what I feel proudest about was our reinterpretation of those things. We took some of those core concepts, made them our, we just didn't like copy them.
We made them our own.
Found what is the essence, and how do I take that essence and express it in this world and do better? And I think modules is that case, right? You guys went and studied the various module systems, and hey, they did it this way, but there are these flaws.
And
so
how
you address those as
it.
Part of the design, right? Because you did that with Bruce.
Yeah,
right?
I did it with Bruce. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then Dan Harmon came along and actually finished it all up for us and made it real.
One of the problems with modules is this is if I expose a module to you, but I use a third module.
How do you not expose all layers of it?
Right. Because the old guys, they would expose it, and then all of a sudden you could take advantage on module C. And if I decided, well, module C wasn't very good, I'm going to use module D instead, now I break you. So that was very good work.
That was fun.
Yeah,
it was actually a fun time. The namespaces, very similar.
And wildcarding?
Wildcarding, yeah.
Well, you know, wildcarding.
Well, actually, your pipeline is obviously the most obvious example. That was like, oh, we still have a pipe, but now it means, you know, we're going to send objects down the pipeline because we're going to break it up in these separate constituent components, separate operations, the get, the manipulate, and then finally the output.
Yeah, I think that it's clearly worked out very
well. That was like, yeah, thank you.
Well, it wasn't obvious, right? A lot of people gave us pushback, like objects.
Not at all.
Admins can never understand objects. That'll burst their heads. You know, you got to understand who these people are and objects.
Right. They do batch files. That's it. You know,
it's like, well, no, you don't. You misunderstand. Objects makes things simpler, and a lot of people just didn't get that. And it's
still.
And when you just hear the story, it's not. It doesn't sound.
It's not
right.
Obvious. It's until you start typing and experiencing it that it really.
Then you say, oh wait.
That's nice.
So I don't have to do all this stuff.
That's right.
Because of the object.
That's right.
But yeah, then wildcarding. You know, in Unix, wildcarding only works against file names.
Yeah.
Whereas our wildcarding, they work everywhere. That goes back to a long-held joke, but I think it's actually not a joke. People think it's a joke, but it's not. Is that PowerShell is so powerful because I have such a deeply flawed human. No, it's really true. I don't remember.
What would you say about this?
I cannot type well. I don't have a particularly good memory.
And it turns out you're not alone.
No,
that's the thing, right? The rest of us have the same flawed nature.
Yeah, it helps everyone. Right, so, you know, you format table. There was something called description, but I'm not sure whether it's I before E, E before I, whatever. D something.
D something. It's a D thing.
Right, and then from there you say, well, okay, but that's sloppy. You know, you might need to be precise, like if you're going to, like, reboot systems. And so you can always have this minus confirm, minus what
if,
minus verbose.
Oh, I love those things. Well, some of that came from, I think, some of your experience, too, back, like, the 2 a.m. mornings, right, when you just sort of like, okay, if I hit enter, am I going to be fired?
Yeah.
Or am I going to be able to go home and just go to sleep?
Yeah, I'm not sure
I've ever really talked about
that story publicly. But basically, I did a startup company. I mean, the full startup thing, right? And this is from VMS. And the full startup thing, like, oh, we're not going to make payroll, so we send them a tape, blank tape, right? Because nothing worked.
And that's like, right.
Oh, we had trouble loading your software. I was like, oh, really? That's odd, huh?
Anyway. Maybe I ought to come out and do something about that.
So eventually we give it to these folks, and then they deploy it in production like way too early. And so where do they deploy it? Not like at a local restaurant or something.
Right, right.
They deployed the software in production at the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center.
Trauma Center.
A trauma hospital, right?
Elvis Presley makes me wonder, anyway.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. All right.
And so surprise, drama. And so they call me up and they're like, my boss said, you got to get down here immediately, 2 days. And so I packed for 2 days, turned out to be 9 days.
Ooh.
I slept on that data center floor for most of that time. I ate out of vending machines for 9 days. I mean, I smelled and looked terribly.
I'm thinking,
no,
I just,
really,
I don't want to come near.
You just couldn't leave, right? Because it's a hospital and
hospital,
nothing's
people
working.
People are, in trouble.
And so at some point, wake me up, hey, the database is all messed up. And so I get up, and it's out in the middle of the night, and I'm there, and I'm stitching together this database, and I remember looking at the screen.
Putting rows together and columns and changing stuff?
Yeah, the different blocks had broken up the record into two different blocks. So I found this block, and where's the other block? And then you stitch them together, right?
Hey, man.
And
that's
so I remember
scary.
Looking at these two blocks, and it's like gunshot wound abdomen. I'm like, oh my heavens, what am I doing here? And then, I got to stitch it together. And if I got it wrong, some poor guy with a gunshot wound abdomen, that's not going to be a happy day.
They're going to think he needs heart surgery.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
remove
left with a left or right. Which one did I get right?
So I was exhausted. I was terrified. And so that was what I had in mind, was to help people in that situation, right? And I knew that when you were doing something, you wanted to say, I'm not sure I got this right, so mine is confirm. It tells you exactly what it's going to do, and you can say yes, no, or suspend to go explore to get
and
the right
come
information.
Back. That's right, back to the suspend thing. People don't use that as much, but it was a kind of a fun idea.
And then diddle with what if and verbose, because again, one
should
of the things
process,
is,
that whole stuff
is remember one of the early AD guys, how much they loved PowerShell. And I said, oh yeah, that's interesting. You're one of the early adopters. Why is that? And he says, well, look, if you're using a GUI, this is when they were converting everything to a version of Active Directory, And they said, well, when you use a GUI, if something's gone wrong, there's no track of it.
You have no idea why. What happened?
And so we have this multi-day event. We just run things in sort of transcript mode. Anything that's gone wrong, you can go back.
Keep that verbose stream on. What the hell just happened 2 hours ago or
two days ago? Exactly.
Or whatever
it
was.
That's what that error message meant.
Right, right, right. Oh, yeah.
So I got to say that's the thing I sort of feel most proud about is that the customer and the admin was at the center of all of our thinking. Again, my experience at the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center said, hey, these folks need something, they need a tool, and we want to build them a tool that can make them successful, to make them the hero.
And that's what we've had that's one of the things I'm so proud of, I got to say, is our community.
Yeah.
It's just been an incredible experience just to participate with them and to watch themselves actually, how do I say this right, to sort of grow into helping everybody else. You know what I mean? It's a very welcoming community. There's tons of experts who in some ways know how to use it more than we do sometimes. We know why we did it. They kind of know what we did because they have to use it every day. But there's this, an incredible community. The whole summits, the PowerShell conferences and the summits, they sort of now bootstrapped and they've owned them in Europe and Asia and North America. And
automation is the aggregation of a body of work.
Of work, right. Yeah. The opus community, so to speak, right? Yeah. It's not just ours. It's like everybody's, how they contributed, not to mention they give us all kinds of grief when we screw things up.
Yeah, and what have you heard the thing I talk about where GUIs are antisocial?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
No, here's
because you don't like share artifacts. Is that what you're saying?
You can't. There's no
it's
artifact
not possible.
To share.
That's a great point.
So when you sit there and you say, hey, I get this GUI, he's like, oh, well, that's
module.
Nice. It's wonderful. Click, 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 click. And I say, oh, wow, that's cool. Can you help me? It's like, no.
Yeah. Right. Watch.
Yeah,
watch. That's right.
So there's
I'll send you a 10-page document
with
screenshots
and
right,
a big red button.
Click
here.
Yeah,
right?
No.
Anyway, but if you do it through a script, then you have an artifact. And at that artifact, you can say, hey, what are you doing? Can I
do this?
And then you give it to me. And then two things happen. One is, I use it, I get better. You've incurred a debt of gratitude. I'm going to buy you a coffee. I'm going to buy you a beer.
Thank
you.
Or
I'm just going to hold you in high regard. Yeah, because
awesome.
You've helped somebody. And then sometimes what happens to me a lot is I'll share something, and then somebody will say, well, why are you doing
that? Why did
that
way?
And they
and
educate
it.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So we get better together.
It's just awesome.
So what are the things are you most proud of?
Because
you've been involved in like some of the core architecture and some of the core designs.
Well, yeah, some of that old extended type system and the way you wrote commandlets and everything else. That was quite a world. I loved also one of the things they're going to say in the first days where we were focused deeply on the admin and I think also trying to get it right. Knew we had a new world and wanted to kind of build it out right.
You know, actually some of those, that difficult time where they were coming after us, giving us all sorts of trouble.
Throwing wrenches.
It actually, I don't know if you've ever reflected on it, but it actually gave us the time. So much of PowerShell is such a coherent system, I think, because of the hours and hours and hours that we spent together, you know, with Bruce and Jim, just like, what about this?
What about that? What do we do the other? And we experimented. We actually had a prototype. One of the things I think is kind of impressive is you wrote a prototype, but we actually threw it away and completely rewrote it. And so many projects, they don't really do that. But I think PowerShell became so much better for having done that, right? And a great progress. Now, some of these early technologies were really different, you know, as we tried to, because the world was sort of different than anybody had done. We had this Windows system, which had this pig's breakfast of just like technologies to manage, didn't it? I mean, you know, registry and XML and CSV and maybe a little COM, maybe a little .NET, you know? And now would you like some JSON with that?
Coherent world.
It's not at all. And one of the things PowerShell just does so wonderfully is glues together this completely messy, disjoint world and tries to bring it to this object-oriented appearing approach. So one of the things I'm really proud of is the extended type system, the adaptive type system sort of lays underneath this basis. And while there's aspects of it that are not quite used as much, nobody really extends it like they can because there's a whole new API that people take advantage of. But every time you type something in PowerShell, anytime you dot reference something, you're just leveraging that thinking. I think
the adaptive type system is one of those things that's the magic, and so people might use it and not really understand what's going on. So why don't you explain what the adaptive type system is and why we invented it?
We'll talk about it a little. Well, basically, it's like, okay, we have all this disparate data, as I say. You know, I got it in CSV, perhaps, or XML, or in the registry in a .NET object.
A good example would be .NET is a uniform object model, but when WMI surfaces it,
as soon as WMI, it's a whole different world. That's right.
Because they have a .NET object which has a property called properties.
That's right. So it's like a subtext, right? You go underneath it. Same with ADO. Actually, at one point we had
ADO and
ADO. AD. Right. That's right. Both they have a facade they put over their object model and essentially implement a new object model beneath. And ETS lets you drill past the facade,
right,
and actually get to it and. And it has a couple things. We created this thing called, you know, the base object, the PowerShell object. And you can create one from scratch. And, you know, it's like kind of a hash table. You create your own types. But you can actually have dynamic types, which is a little weird. That's one of the things I'm not sure about. But you actually have an array of actual the types of what it was when it came in. And you can change that. It's very flexible.
Yes.
But it essentially reads any object, brings it into a PowerShell object. And from there, everything looks the same. Mm-hmm. And so you can write one script that manipulates CSVs or XML or WMI or .NET, and the script doesn't have to worry about it.
Right.
And it abstracts it all away. It just sucks it into the, I would say it sucks it into that pipeline is really what happens, because the pipeline becomes a PS object.
And again, I think this is a great example where we said, hey, we're going to have our center, our mindset, every design around the user. Look, you're some designer, and you think you've done this wonderful thing with WMI or AD, and this is better than the .NET object model. You must understand.
Everyone should come learn mine.
XML is even better. And
that's right.
Most admins. What's that phrase you came up with about developers and what the difference between developers and admins?
Developers want to get it right. Admins want to go home. Is that the?
They just want to go home. They just want to get it done. And it turns out that if you want to, you can sneak behind a facade. If you really need the details, you can sneak behind that and get at it.
You can always go, which is one of the key principles, I think, too, of PowerShell we got right, which was, look, you can always get your freaking job done.
Yeah.
You know, we're your best friend. We're not your mom. We're not your parent. We're not your dad. We're not your guardian. We'll tell you, hey, you might not want to jump off that bridge with that little bungee cord strapped to your ankle, okay? You know, but if you insist, we'll drive you.
Right.
You know, but we'll give you the warnings, we'll give you the confirm, we'll give you all that stuff, but in the end, you own it.
Right.
You're the one who has the full responsibility of making the system work, and we don't want to get in your way and prevent you from getting your job.
And we'll give you the sharp tools.
We will. And yeah. And you know,
that was controversial, right?
Very.
People are like, oh, you can't give dangerous tools to admins. They'll mess everything up. It's like, well,
that was part of the scary about doing objects. Oh, they're manipulating the object directly. Oh my, what could happen?
Yeah.
It's like, well, they could do anything anyway. It's just, is it easier and obvious or not? You know.
Okay, so we should switch gears and talk about the things that didn't work as well.
Well, let's see.
Clearly, you know, snap-ins.
Yeah, snap-ins. I was going to say one thing where I wish I'd done differently.
Yeah.
Is providers.
Oh, okay.
Now the notion
I love providers.
I love providers
awesome.
Too. Well, I love the notion of providers.
Yeah.
Although the registry provider took us twice, and I'm still not sure we got it right.
But no, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, but in general, you know, the idea of being able to browse any data structure is awesome. And it's one of those areas I actually think we could have a lot more of. You can browse an XML structure. You could browse an object model if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder with big data if we actually could have some capabilities there. We'd have to implement the relationship provider, which never happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
But the providers, I'm really...
We never implement.
No, it's been so needed. You know, the ability to jump between providers easily and still communicate and to have non-hierarchical mappings. It's one of those, there's so many things to get to. That's what's great about this job.
Actually, you know
we
what
never
that, you
run
know,
out of anything to do. It's like,
you know what, there's this phrase for that now.
No,
that's
what?
That's what they call the graph.
Oh yeah, right, sure.
The Facebook graph, the LinkedIn graph,
the
object graph. It's this ability to say I've got some hierarchy, and then instead of navigating containment, you navigate relationship.
That's correct.
We actually had that
the
design.
Relationship provider.
Why didn't we implement that?
10 years ago, it's just time.
Okay. Yeah, right. To choose.
I had the design. I actually wrote it out.
Yeah.
Wrote it out, crafted everything, and just couldn't get the thing implemented.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about wanting to implement like a Mount Azure.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
And then, you know, just be
sort
able
of
to
traverse the actual Azure hierarchy.
Actually, the thought was at Mount Azure and then Mount Azure Stack. And then be able to do some compares, maybe even some copies.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Sort of do
but
a
you
diff.
Definitely, in the Azure, you definitely have these relationships.
You have to be able to traverse it. So the thing I wish I'd done differently. So why don't I like this, right?
Yeah.
There's all this stuff we like about
Things
it.
Things awesome.
is I just think it's too hard to create them.
Oh, the providers.
You know, the actual providers.
It is.
I think the idea of having containers and drives and that hierarchy is actually good too, because you can have, you know, the variables are actually container. Providers, which is awesome.
You can
use the dollar sign in front of it. But all this stuff is cool, and yet they're just so hard to produce that we don't have as much of them as we really should.
Right.
And when people do produce them, they're kind of contained, and so we've kind of avoided them a bit more. I wish what we'd done instead is something more like sort of a commandlet families, you know, where you could say, oh, you implement these commandlets in this way, with this syntax, this return results, and we'll stitch it together in a holistic way.
Being a member of the
way,
community,
you know?
Jim Christopher had written something similar to that. We should take a look at that.
We should, I'm in. You know, it's just anyway, fun.
Yeah.
So, I'm told we don't have much time. This has been fun to sort of go down memory lane a little bit into.
We should talk
Remember,
about
there's so much stuff. Yes.
Adoption?
Adoption, absolutely. This, I know it's a simple slide, but this is kind of my all-time favorite for just lasted a while. Here's this curve for WMF 4.0, right? And that's actually pretty good. We have a few million people
downloaded.
So this
is the redistribution of PowerShell.
That's right. It comes on Windows directly itself, and then if you want to continually install it, you know, you can down-level it, which is something we did, I think, also right.
Yeah.
We recognize that administration has to be pervasive in order to be useful.
Yeah. By the way, can I point out, a lot
Please.
Of people don't get this. I remember talking to my dad just bragging about how I had the best job in the world because my job was exclusively on making people successful. And I didn't have to go try and figure out how to get money out of them. PowerShell is a benefit of ownership. And it's always been free, and it's just a benefit of ownership. In fact, so as we make it available, and we're not trying to drive you to the latest version, we always take it down level. Just you're a Microsoft customer, we're going to make you successful.
I've got to chain off that just a little bit.
Yeah.
And one of the things just I'm so proud of is how the community has actually been able to, I don't know, realize new careers.
Uh-huh.
I loved that tweet that came out. where the guy talked about in 3 years he grew his salary by 2.4x.
Yeah.
Partly because he learned PowerShell.
Yeah.
It's just in this today's economy, that's just awesome news.
Yeah.
And anytime I hear those stories, I just love them. But so this is the 4.0, WMF 4.0, which released I guess in 2013. And then in January, we re-released, or February re-released, WMF 5.0, our latest. And this adoption, which is PowerShell 5.0, and this adoption curve is like 2 times as fast. And after 10 years, I was just astonished that the uptick is so fast and pervasive. I think it's finally hit its stride, you know. It's been just a great run. I'm looking forward to the future, which looks apparently better than the past.
And now we're working on PowerShell version 6.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like a reboot, isn't it?
It is. As we were commenting about earlier, it's like, hey, this is our 10-year PowerShell birthday, but it's really also like a birthday in the sense of a new beginning. PowerShell version 6 sort of is almost a new beginning in the sense that we're switching from being layered on top of .NET full to .NET Core. And having gone on .NET Core means that enables us to go heterogeneous. And so now we're available on Windows,
Linux,
on Linux, on Macintosh, and really to fulfill that thing that we had talked about of wanting to be the infrastructure to manage your entire estate. So now customers will be able to manage from any client, manage any server running in any cloud, or on-premises using any hypervisor, storage stack,
networking. And this goes back to the basic PowerShell. We want to bring the universe together. We're like the ocean that refuses no river, right?
Right.
If there's a piece of data, I was just talking to somebody the other day. I said, I'd love to have the ability to write a commandlet in Python,
mm-hmm.
right? Particularly on Linux. We got in the Linux world. And they said, you wouldn't? I said, of course. It's a new data stream. It's like it's, you know, the more we can flow into that river, the more valuable it can become for people.
Because our goal is to help solve the messy problem. So one question is, hey, is it ever going to stop being a messy world?
You know, that was an interesting question, actually, isn't it? It's like, somehow I'm convinced the world will remain, there's always innovation. And as soon as there's innovation, there's legacy.
Yep.
As soon as there's legacy, there's a messy world. And even when there's innovation, you think one thing, you have a great idea. I think another thing, I have a great idea. And our ideas might not be exact matches,
yep.
but both useful in their own domain. And that's where PowerShell just shines.
Yeah.
It's that ability to stitch things together.
From the very beginning, we always knew that the world is a messy world. And our job, our mission, was to help people succeed given that it was a messy world. Not to say, hey, just get rid of that messy world, shun all the things that are messy, you know, come to our world of perfection and everything will be great. No, we said embrace the mess.
Right?
The world is a mess, and we're gonna help you be successful. And I have to agree, the most fulfilling and confirming aspect of my job is when I go to these conferences and just the sheer volume of people that come up to me and tell me how PowerShell has transformed their careers, how they take it, learned it, and first,
or love it.
Fun it is.
Exactly, I just
it's
love
just
it. It's
fun.
Like, I now have fun with my job. A Bartek just told me that again the other day. I love it. It was like, it made IT fun again. Thank you.
Exactly. And then, because they're so powerful, they're able to be a hero for their company and their team. And how, from being a hero, they've been able to get promotions and raises, or in some cases, new jobs. Don Jones has a great phrase, as people are frustrated, he says, hey, change your company or change your company.
That's
and
right.
I talked to a guy who had tripled his salary. How do
wow.
you triple your salary? And the answer was, he was not valued at his company. He had learned the stuff,
PowerShell,
he was doing great,
stuff.
But they weren't valuing it. So he said, well, you could be right, or I could be right. I think I'm worth more. So we went out to the marketplace and got a job.
He was right.
Yeah, he was right. And got a huge raise.
And this goes, I think, to what you used to call the sacred vow of PowerShell.
The sacred vow.
You know, and that's just like, as I interpret it, it's always like, look, we know that learning a new language, learning PowerShell, does not look like a bucket of water. Mm-hmm. And we know your hair's on fire. We know you've got stuff to do. We know you have a real life. But if you come and if you learn it, we promise that it will be worth it. And not only worth it, but will become more worth it ever after. That you'll
yes.
always get increased value for PowerShell.
Yeah, I had one partner who took a big bet on PowerShell, bet their kind of their product on PowerShell and desired state configuration. I asked the CEO, well, why did you do that? He said, a lot of times Microsoft will do something and then get distracted and do something else. But PowerShell is the story of enduring investment, that you did something great and you continue to invest and invest and invest, and we will continue to invest. You learning PowerShell, we want to make sure it was the best thing that you've ever done. We want you to earn salaries, big bonuses. We want you to be the hero, and we're committed to making that. So you're making that true. So as we take PowerShell and make it available on Linux, now there's more things that you can manage. You can manage everything. So you should probably toss it back to him.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's been.
Looking forward to next 10.
Happy birthday.